If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
Welcome back to The Bulwark. I'm Will Summer, joined by Andrew Egger, one of the authors of our Morning Shots newsletter. Andrew, you have a bee in your bonnet today about a Washington Post story about Katie Miller, wife of Stephen Miller, and some interesting stock holdings she has and how they might relate to her online persona. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, so I don't know about you, Will. I have always found Katie Miller one of the most fascinating, unimportant podcasters in the MAGA space. She has this show. It's the Katie Miller Show. It does not seem to have an incredibly large audience, but it does have quite a bit of reach in no small part thanks to Katie Miller's many personal connections. She worked for Elon Musk at Doge. Her husband is Stephen Miller, one of President Trump's most important advisors. So she has had this interesting path, this interesting level of access, all of these sorts of things. There is this report in the Washington Post today specifically about her connection with Elon and specifically about her connection with Elon's XAI, the company that I guess is now the social media slash artificial intelligence project of Elon. It's basically X, the social media platform, plus Grok, plus some other things. Katie Miller has been on a bit of a posting tear for the last better part of a year, I would say. I've seen her routinely, you know, weighing in to put dirt in the eye of OpenAI, put dirt in the eye of Anthropic, and boost Grok as really the only choice for true patriots. When you go, for whatever your artificial needs may be, you know, if you're a right thinking MAGA type, a right thinking free thinker, Grok is the AI for you. This has been kind of a running theme in her posting. Come to find out, per the Washington Post today, that might not be entirely for just sort of team spirit related reasons. There were some financial disclosures released last week by the White House that showed that Katie Miller actually owns perhaps about $1 million in stock for XAI, which is a nice little perk if you can get it. Elon seems to think she did good work for her, for him rather, while she was there. So she's sitting on a nice little nest egg there. This has never been disclosed. She has never brought this forward herself. Obviously, it's been disclosed now. This was just in their financial forms of her and her husband Stephen Miller. And it is alleged by these forms that Stephen Miller himself has recused himself from any sort of policy related discussions in the White House that would touch on this stuff because of this financial entanglement, this nice little nest egg that they're sitting on. Of course, by the same token, Katie Miller, in her role as an influencer, in her role as a quote unquote public intellectual of the MAGA movement, has never mentioned this, has never brought it up. She has never told her audience, such as it is, that there might be other reasons than just sort of pure analytical rigor that she is so emphatically pro-Grok. So this is the story that was reported, and it's an interesting little insight into the way this ecosystem works today.
You know, this is a pet project of mine, is conservative influencers and what their secret agendas may be, why they suddenly embrace certain topics, whether they're being paid or if there's financial interests otherwise. And this is an interesting one because we knew Katie Miller had this business relationship with Elon Musk. They were tight when he was running Doge. She left the Trump administration, I believe, to work for him. There was a lot of, obviously, Stephen Miller's marriage is a frequent topic on liberal Twitter. So there was a lot of like insinuations about, you know, she's running off with Elon or whatever. But now that she's in this phase where she's like styling herself as kind of like a conservative mom influencer, and, you know, she has cabinet secretaries and their wives on her podcast. And so it's a very, I guess what's interesting here is I feel like she's working this angle where it's like, Claude is not safe for your family. ChatGPT is not safe for your family. Trust your kids with Grok. the AI run by the white supremacist billionaire. Like, that's the safe one. And so I think what's it's so interesting here that this came out. Let me read this article. And this came out in Stephen Miller's Financial Disclosures. So this kind of runs down how many times she's attacked these various companies. In the nearly 9 months since she got this stock in December, she has shared posts about ChatGPT, OpenAI, or Sam Altman more than 400 times, with almost all of the posts being negative, a post analysis found. Similarly with Anthropic, 64 times, Google's Gemini AI, 33 times negative. At the same time, she's posted mostly positive messages about XAI and Grok, 161 times. And she frequently encourages people on X to try Grok and highlights the company's growth. Huh. I wonder what was going on there. $1 million? That's a lot of money.
Yeah, and those numbers, I mean, they're big numbers just as raw numbers. Katie Miller is also not the kind of person who is posting on X, you know, 800 times a day. I mean, this is truly, if it just as a person who follows her, I can pretty confidently say this is one of her main topics of posting. And it has been sort of strange for quite some time. It's been sort of one of these unanswered questions, like, well, okay, she did work for Elon at Doge, then she left the government, as you said, to go work for him in a private capacity. It had seemed like she had stopped doing that to then go full time on her podcast.
This ad is brought to you by ZocDoc. So there are certain things that are incredibly easy to put off, and making a doctor's appointment is pretty high up on that list, for me at least. You know you need to do it, but then you think about making that phone call and getting put on hold and figuring out whether they'll even take your insurance. Then you got to figure out if they can even have an opening for you. And suddenly you decide, well, you know what? This is not a problem for tomorrow. Let's just kick it down the road. That's why I want to tell you about today's sponsor, ZocDoc. ZocDoc lets you search and compare local in-network doctors. You can see actual appointment openings right there. So instead of calling around and playing phone tag, you can just find a time that works and instantly book your visit online. And there are more than 150,000 providers across more than 200 specialties in all 50 states. So whether you've moved or changed insurance, or you've just been putting off an appointment for way too long, you can see the options available to you, and you can choose the doctor who fits what you're looking for. Your health matters, and taking care of yourself shouldn't be too complicated. Find and book the right doctor with ZocDoc. Head to ZocDoc.com/BulwarkTakes to get started and check that appointment off your to-do list. That's ZocDoc.com/BulwarkTakes.
One of the pieces of reporting in this Washington Post piece, another kind of piece of the puzzle here, is that seemingly that she never truly stopped working for Elon. She continues in this sort of consulting role, even as she is doing, her supposedly independent new media empire, her influencer gig. Until we got these disclosures and this reporting from the Washington Post, we had not really been able to put meat on the bones of what's going on here, other than, okay, this is a person who has this pre-existing relationship with Elon and seems to at the very least be an enthusiast of the future growth of his companies. Now we can see there's a little more to it than that.
And, you know, just to follow up, I mean, to drive that point home, this is so damning, this part. In the 9 months before she obtained the XAI stock, Miller almost never mentioned any of these companies. She had two posts about OpenAI in December, just before, and the transaction. She posted six times about Grok, mostly in December. So it's not as though she's like holding forth, I love Grok, I hate Claude, you know, beforehand. So I think it's a bit telling what's going on now. The Post raises the question of whether this violates FTC rules, this idea that influencers, endorsers, you can't be saying, geez, I really love this product without explaining that it's a paid endorsement or you have some kind of financial stake in it. What do you make of that?
Yeah, so this is perhaps a grayer area than the stuff we've been talking about so far, right? I mean, I should caution, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not an expert on these things. My understanding, based on reading up about all of this today, is that she's basically in non-compliance with the sort of voluntary asks that the FTC makes of influencers to say, hey, you know, like if you want to stay on safely on the fair side of the law, you should always err on the side of disclosure. You should always make it very clear whenever you have a financial relationship with products that you're putting out there into the world. The current chair of the FTC, Andrew Ferguson, took great umbrage with the suggestion that that Katie Miller was not in keeping with these laws. But I should say the Washington Post does not accuse her of necessarily breaking laws here either. They're just saying the FTC has these guidelines. The FTC plainly asks these influencers to make it clear when they have financial entanglements with products that they're talking about. But here is what he has to say. This article is riddled with factual errors and also wrong on the law. Nothing alleged in here violates any law the FTC enforces, but law and facts don't matter to the partisan Democrats who will stop at nothing to attack your family. They hate you and they think it's funny. The so-called reporter behind this piece, Kat Zakruski, gave my office just 45 minutes to respond to her inquiry. When we asked why we were given so little time, she said, and I'm not kidding, President Trump's administration is not entitled to basic journalistic standards. Despicable stuff that's only tolerated in quote unquote journalism. So Andrew Ferguson has really planted a flag here that he sees the Washington Post coming after Katie Miller by just noting the fact that government documents disclose that she has AI stock. They think this is despicable. They think it's interesting. They say stop at nothing to attack your family. I mean, obviously the subtext here is that this is supposed to be a bank shot against Stephen Miller himself. But Katie Miller is a public figure by her own lights, right? I mean, this is the career she has chosen to do, to be an influencer. And it's in her capacity as an influencer, it's in her capacity as a podcast host, that she would, in theory, be running afoul of FTC regulations and guidelines here. So the whole thing is very silly. The whole thing is very transparently the chair of the FTC trying to score some court intrigue points in the court of public opinion of Donald Trump and Stephen Miller here.
You know, what blew my mind about this tweet was this came across my timeline and I saw this kind of very typical kind of like LLM, not saying, you know, this guy probably wrote it himself, but it has the language of the classic Trump administration, you know, you gutter journalist, whatever response. And I thought, like, is this guy like a deputy for Stephen Chung? Is this guy like some representative of Stephen Miller or Katie Miller? And then when I said, oh, FTC, oh, the chairman of the FTC. I mean, typically, you know, I think you would say, hey, we don't comment on investigations or, you know, here's the complaint form if you got an issue. But instead, he's actively saying, like, to be clear, she can do whatever she wants. OK, folks, we're not going to look into it. It's and, you know, I think on another note that the larger picture here, Katie Miller, look, we love talking about the Katie Miller podcast, her burgeoning media empire, whatever. But also this is also a sort of influence fight over what is possibly the most important human issue right now, which is how the U.S. government handles AI. And so, you know, as we record this on Thursday, this is happening amid, you know, people resigning, someone resigning from Anthropic, claiming, you know, AI is going to destroy humanity. Anthropic saying, yeah, maybe we will. Reports that Claude being used to generate biological weapons and Anthropic having to step in to stop that. And so amid this very kind of potent issue, you could, hey, secretly hire a White House advisor's wife and influencer as as kind of a secret spokesperson or someone to promote you. So it's very sleazy stuff, but I also think the stakes are high.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we have spent so much time this week focusing on these sort of really big picture questions about what AI as a technology might be capable of, and you know, how risky its future development is going to be. But there's this whole other set of sort of internal to the technology questions about, well, you know, how do these various labs and their various products stack up against one another? And while I think, you know, part of the news of this week is that none of them seem like they're necessarily absolutely going to be really safe, I think you and I would agree, probably many people in our audience would agree, that of the leading AI labs, perhaps the one that we want least to be very close to the federal government, very close to positions of power, is Elon Musk's bot that sort of occasionally spasms into calling itself Mecha Hitler on X, right, and starting to, you know, spiral off and do race science. And anytime anybody finds a way to sort of get Grok to spit out just sort of like normie liberal sounding talking points on any issue, Elon gets in under the hood and starts tinkering with the weights in his models because he really wants Grok to be the right wing fash bot version of these products that are currently on the market. And these are not just kind of like meaningless future looking conversations either. I mean, we have had big fights just in the past year over which AI companies are allowed to contract with the federal government. Anthropic got in a big slap fight with the Department of Defense over digging in its heels about the DoD wanting to be able to use its models in the future to create autonomous weapons systems without a human in the loop. Elon and Grok and XAI seized that fight to swoop in and ink a new contract with the Department of Defense because they're like, we'll do it. You know, no problems here. These are not the same sort of like, will these things cause the extinction of humanity a little ways down the line conversations. They're not necessarily those same conversations. But this is a gigantic industry with trillions of dollars sloshing around all over the place. It does seem like part of Elon's strategy and XAI's strategy for keeping the Trump administration on board is to funnel money into the pockets of various people who are close to the administration. Of course, everybody's doing this to some extent. But this is a particularly shameless, a particularly open way, it seems, for XAI to be doing that.
Yeah, I mean, this is an administration that's very swayed by social media. And so if you can say, you know, and we've seen this at where the stakes are much lower. I wrote about a campaign apparently from a motorcycle company to say that Harley Davidson was gay. And all of these conservative influencers were saying, you know, they're DEI, they're woke, whatever. But it's much more potent, you know, or much more significant if you could have someone saying OpenAI is woke. Anthropic is DEI, you know, kind of hitting that nail. And then, you know, the contracts go one way rather than another. Okay, great. Andrew, do you think we've hit all the beats here?
Yeah, no, just to underscore that point that you just made. I mean, again, just to go back to this DoD fight, that was explicitly the language of Pete Hegseth while he was in that slap fight with Anthropic, a slap fight that is ongoing, by the way, is that these are woke California leftists at the woke AI company Anthropic who are, you know, power hungry, determined to make these decisions about what their models will and won't do rather than having the government make those decisions. I mean, it's sort of crazy. On one level, to have these gigantic decisions about which of these incredibly powerful AI models and companies will and won't have access to various sorts of government work going forward, and to have that conversation and that debate be so tied to just the lunatic, ludicrous discourse that happens on X.com at any given time. But that is 100% what we're seeing, that discourse does have a gigantic effect on the decision-making processes of various people inside of the administration. As we can see, there are institutional advantages and institutional incentives for these companies. And in particular, it seems for XAI to try to put a thumb on the scale in that way.
In conclusion, Katie Miller, if you have $1 million stake in Mecha Hitler, you got to let people know. You can't just be doing these things, you know, in the shadows. We've been joined today by Andrew Egger, co-writer of the Morning Shots newsletter, kind of becoming our tech policy guy. He's getting a lot of big ideas. He's grappling with the fate of humanity. Andrew, thank you so much for joining that. And folks, check out thebulwark.com. Sign up for our newsletters. Sign up for Morning Shots. Hit the subscribe button on here. Thanks a lot.